This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with Michael Bartley joining me again this morning. And Michael,
yeah,
this is one of those stories that we've heard about for years and years and years. And for those who thought medical marijuana would never come to Pennsylvania, of course, that's now years in. But
people always say Pennsylvania, we're always behind the times. We're always the last, one of the last states to do something and to react.
Well, think about this. Take gambling, for instance. Mm-hmm. There was a time when they said, there will never be legalized gambling in Pennsylvania.
They totally said it.
So then they said, we're going to save the harness racing industry by allowing just strictly the slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, remember, that's how it started.
I remember that, yeah.
We didn't have any of the other table games.
Yeah.
A year or so in, they said, well, we can't compete with West Virginia, Mountaineer, or Atlantic City and other places because they have all the other
games. They have table games and all the rest of it.
And then sports betting will never take hold. Well, look at it now. It's a major industry.
Huge.
Multi-billions.
It's sort of like the dominoes fall eventually.
And so
here,
obviously those things are legal. And then medical marijuana has been legal all around us, recreational. They call it adult use cannabis. So we had a chance to catch up with State Representative Dan Frankel, mm-hmm. who you know.
Yeah. And you.
District 23.
Uh-huh.
And asked him about it because something happened yesterday in Harrisburg. So we welcomed him on the Big K Morning Show.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Dan. It's great to have you. Let me get out what the governor said on X. You ready? Let's not kid ourselves. Pennsylvanians who want to buy cannabis are just driving across the border to one of our neighboring states who have legalized adult-use cannabis. Instead of regulating this industry and creating real opportunity, we are losing out. And Dan, I guess he's talking about Delaware and New Jersey, right?
Well, we got Ohio, New yep. York, Maryland. So we are literally surrounded by states that have legal adult use cannabis.
Yesterday, you had talked about making sure that there were, you know, the right regulations in place to monitor this. So how close are we to adult use cannabis for recreation here in our state?
Well, we're going to be putting out a proposal, Democratic proposal, in the next few weeks. We've had a series. I chair the Health Committee in the Pennsylvania House. Last session, we had 6 hearings on adult use legalization. We are looking. Our concerns are make sure that we have a criminal justice portion of this to make sure that people who have records have those records expunged. We want an opportunity for the communities who had been targeted and victimized by the criminal justice system to benefit from this. We want to make sure that there's a public health component to this, and we want to make sure also that there is significant revenue that's generated for the Commonwealth and for those affected communities.
What is it? Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, it's go ahead, Michael.
What are the chances now? Are the chances better now? What's holding this up? The expungement of records?
No, I think they're different. There's a version that's bipartisan to a certain extent. There is a version in the Senate that's coming out from Senator Dan Laughlin, who is a Republican. It's not a version that I would support. necessarily, but at least there seems to be some bipartisan support for doing something here. And I think there's recognition, whether you don't like the idea of having legal weed in our communities, the fact is it's here. And it's not legal. It's not regulated. We don't know that the products here are safe. They're not tested. We see in our communities these vape stores that sell synthetic THC products that are completely unregulated. Mm. So there's a safety component here as well. And I think there is a recognition that, as you pointed out, we are literally surrounded by every state around us that has legal weed. So we're bleeding out revenue from the state to other states that are benefiting from their legalization of adult use cannabis. And we're losing revenue as well as sustaining an illicit market that provides products that are not tested and are not necessarily safe. So there's a really compelling reason here. And I think when we get it's inevitable in Pennsylvania that we're going to legalize this. The question is when, and I think the time is really ripe now. And from a revenue standpoint, we're looking at the real need to find revenue without raising taxes. And the version that we're putting out there could raise between $600 and $700 million worth of revenue for the state. It's hard to ignore that as well if you're not looking to raise taxes. So it's a source of significant revenue, and there's just so many reasons. It's so compelling that I think it ultimately will get there, and I'm very hopeful that that'll happen in this session of the legislature. So we're going to send a bill over to the Senate probably before June, and hopefully it'll start a discussion and a negotiation so that we can get to a good place that everybody can support it.
State Representative Dan Frankel. So
$700 million is a lot of money.
How do you feel about it?
I'm okay with it, but if everybody else has it, why wouldn't we have it? I mean,
at this point, yeah. Even if you don't,
as long
imbibe,
as it's regular. I mean, you can't be smoking and driving, and I don't think
you know that yet. All's happening now,
huh?
You can smell it in traffic.
Oh,
you can smell
no doubt.
It everywhere you go.
I know.
At some point, you get that whiff. It's like a skunk-like smell.
Yeah.
It is.
I know.
How well do you know?
Well, not that well.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just asking.
I'm just saying. I know.
Coming up, Lynn Hayes Freeland will join us on the Big. You have an opportunity next Tuesday, a week from today, to help your neighbor. Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon is on for the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, raising money to provide meals for our neighbors. Text NEED to 50155, and your donation will provide meals here in our hometown. And we appreciate our sponsors, Isley's, Beano's, Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers, and Aetna.
Most generous city in the world right here. We do a great job with that.
And you can go to kdkradio.com mm-hmm. for details.
Yep.
Every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland, who joins us. You can see Lynn on the radio on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. I can see clearly now.
See me on the radio.
Do you know Michael Bartley?
Are you kidding?
I do know Michael Bartley. Who doesn't know Michael Bartley?
I'm finding out more and more.
Wait, no. Yeah. Lynn, the last segment, Larry asked me about the aroma of marijuana.
And he's getting texts.
I'm getting texts from my friend Chip, who says, you know that smell. I kind of pretended I didn't know the smell. And guess what Marty Griffin just sent me? Three words. Bong hit Bartley.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a bong in so college, but that was the last time.
Really?
Know, I mean, yeah. We grew up, and you and I are very similar in age, so there was an era that we grew up in. And so I'll just leave that right there.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Right
now,
there.
Thank
now,
you.
That said, Lynn, as a parent, grandparent, mm-hmm. even though you're no longer residing full-time in this state, should we legalize adult-use cannabis?
Well, I mean, I think there's something to be said about, you know, if people can't get it in Pennsylvania, they're just going to cross state lines. Is that a reason to legalize it? I'm not sure, but I think that's the reality. I think eventually it's going to be legal across the country, but there is still that issue with the federal guidelines in terms of what's classified as a narcotic. And so there's always that juxtaposition between state laws and federal laws. And I think that's the issue that really needs to be addressed.
You bring up a very good point. For those that don't know, Lynn is absolutely correct. It is still considered a class one drug. It still hasn't been reduced on the federal level. Therefore, they can't do advertising in the states for these dispensaries. They can't promote it in any way. In fact, they can't technically take in the money. And a lot of this is a cash business, which may be attractive to some people.
Yeah, I know.
But the soonest, and talking to Representative Frankel, that we think it could be, at least on paper, legalized, could be this summer, because they're going to try to make it part of the budget. And then it will take, there will be a process that will, before you would go to a store. So it's not going to be, you know, whatever they call the dispensaries, if they're legal marijuana places for recreation.
And they got to expunge all those records.
Yeah, they have to have different names.
And Lynn, they have to expunge records of people that were arrested for marijuana possession, and
And I don't even think that's a conversation that's been had. And even once medicinal marijuana was legalized in Pennsylvania, there was still an issue. If you work for a corporation or a company, you drove a company vehicle, you got into an accident, they tested you for, you know, substances, you know, there are all these little things that have the potential to come back and bite you that I think have to be addressed before we can really move forward with any of this.
So that said, we'll see if it gets real traction. What else is on your radar? Because I know you spent a lot of time.
Well, I got a couple things.
Many issues.
Well, wait, there's a couple things that you guys have touched on already that I want to get back to. First is throwing out the first pitch at the baseball game. I did that once for Breast Cancer Awareness Day. They had the catcher was a surgeon. So all he kept saying to me before I threw the ball was, don't mess up my hands. These are magic hands.
You're kidding.
So talk about some added pressure. Oh, it was ridiculous. So meantime, you know, I just look like a fool, but I figured I'd rather look like a fool than do something to his hands. So that, I just had to share my first pitch story. The other thing is, you know, Michael, you've been talking about the flower show.
Yeah.
And it turns out it made me do my homework because I've always known it, you know, growing up, it was the flower show.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was until.
So technically that was the name of it?
Yes. Yes. And then the city of Pittsburgh got involved. They formed a new entity. And I want to say it's like, I forget what year, but officially they changed the name to Phipps Conservatory.
So wait a minute. So I'm thinking they just said it as sort of Pittsburgh vernacular, but that was a real thing.
That was the name of it. And that's what made me think about it, because when you kept saying it, I was like, that's all we ever knew it as growing up.
We did.
And then all of a sudden there was a time it became the Phipps Conservatory.
Wow.
So there was literally a process. And I think that's also when it became a big attraction. It became, you know, it turned into a lot more than just the flower
show. But I guess our point too, and your point as well, is even after it was officially named the Phipps Conservatory, we all still called it the flower show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we did.
You know what? If the truth be told, I probably still call it that.
Me too.
You know, newcomers to the city know it as the Phipps Conservatory. But for me, it's the flower show.
That's exactly right.
All right, coming up, what else is on Lynn Hayes Freeland's cranium this morning?
You know what? I think I'm like everyone else. I'm just kind of at a point where I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for winter to be over, even though it's been warm down here for a while. And I think I am ready for a lot of chaos to settle down. I think that we have all been overwhelmed by the news, by politics. It brings up all kinds of emotions, be they good or bad. So I want to touch on that. The other thing that I find very interesting is that trending with Tamira segment, because I'm wondering how this thing at Harvard is going to affect admissions. You know, we saw the rollback of a lot of their affirmative action things last year. I guess it was last year, maybe in 23. Mm-hmm. So what is this going to mean? And is there going to be a fair or realistic breakdown of who gets this free tuition?
Coming up, Lynn Hayes Freeland will have more right after the news with Paul Rasmussen. Check in with Marty Griffin preparing for his 10 to 2 radio broadcast. Larry Richard with Michael Bartley and Lynn Hayes Freeland. And Lynn, first up, what do you want to talk about?
What do I want to talk about today? Well, I'm going to circle back to this exhaustion that I'm feeling. You know, right after the presidential race, the election, rather, people were saying, stop watching the media. It's just, you know, there's too much going on and it's going to wear your brain out. And I was like, no, I'm a news person. I will watch everything that comes along. Well, guess what? We are now at March. I totally understand stepping back, taking a break, because your emotions end up. And again, I think it's whatever side of the fence you might be on any given issue, it's an up and down. It's an emotional roller coaster. And it truly is exhausting.
Lynn, I have a friend, and you know her well. She has had a news blackout since the election, just so because she doesn't want to deal with anything. And I totally understand that. I do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the realities are when we look back at the election, there was a lot of focus on things that apply to my life, to your life. And a lot of the things that we're seeing and hearing about, I hate to say it, they don't have any real direct impact on me and the people that I know. So all of a sudden, you're using all this energy and emotion on something that at the end of the day, it's not going to make any difference to me.
Yeah, you definitely have to manage your time. And full immersion all the time into the heavy news stuff, it absolutely has an effect on
it
you.
It does. It certainly does. There's no question about it. Larry and I were talking
today.
Well,
it's almost like, go ahead. No, I was going to say, it's almost like there's the news and then there's the social media component and the comments and those things. You know, you can easily go down a rabbit hole in social media and comments from people. And before you know it, you're sitting at your computer feeling all riled up about something that someone you never met before posted on somebody else's page.
I will say this, though. Have you two noticed, and maybe I'm nuts, but maybe I'm making this up, I don't know, but I honestly, I've noticed that people up to the election compared to the last election and now do less politics on social media. Do you think that's not true?
See, that has not been my experience. Okay. I don't know about you, Larry, because I think what happens a lot of times is, and I'll just use this as an example, but it's not necessarily a factual based example. But someone might say, you know, hey, I really want to see something come to downtown Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Then the comments become, that's never going to happen as long as there's a Democrat there. Well, the Republicans do this. And the initial conversation wasn't political at all, but it turns into a political discussion. That's where I see it.
Yeah, there is an awful lot of that where just demonizing each other.
Yeah, I guess.
For different things that aren't necessarily in the moment political. Like,
right.
Who the Steelers going to get as a quarterback?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not political, but there are some people that make
it. No, but somebody will say, well, as long as so-and-so is in office, that's going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
I do think people have those soapboxes they get on.
Speaking of which, should the Steelers, or I don't know if they can now, get Aaron Rodgers? Do you pay any attention to that stuff?
You know what? I do, and I'll be honest. I was not that familiar. I didn't have a feeling about Aaron Rodgers initially, but then I found that all of the men that I talked to, they all had very strong feelings against Aaron Rodgers.
That's interesting.
So I decided, okay, I'm going to back off. I'm not even going to ask people anymore, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Because sometimes it's just a conversation starter, you know. But I also think that, you know, the Steelers are in an awkward position right now.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is being courted by the New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings, who are a really good football team last year.
He's 41 years old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, however, then there's that. In football years, what is that?
All right. But on St. Patrick's Day, the conversation at my table was he would be good because we have such great receivers now. We got that guy from the Seahawks, all that type stuff. You know, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Aaron Rodgers.
There was a lot of that similar conversation when Russell Wilson came here.
Correct. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Over the hill. You know, it might be a Band-Aid, but it's not a long-term solution.
We're kind of in no man's land right now. We're in no man's land. That happens.
Yeah, it does. And for a city like Pittsburgh and fans like Steeler fans, that's an awkward position.
Oh, there's hell to pay.
Yeah, we're still over a month from the draft. And that, trust me when I tell you, Lynn, all they talk about on The Fan is about the Steelers quarterback situation. For the most part, 90%.
Oh my goodness, Larry! I was at the Verizon store the other day getting a new phone, in fact. And there were three guys in the store that worked at Verizon, and I heard them say Ben Roethlisberger and something else. And I said, "Hey, are you talking about the Steelers? Let me be clear. I'm from Pittsburgh, so before you continue that conversation, you may want to be careful." It launched into a whole hour and a half about the Steelers with three people that I don't know.
Yeah, when they do anything, it's news.
Oh, is it ever?
It is.
Were those three guys from here?
No, one was a Falcons fan, one was a Raiders fan, and the third guy never really let on who he was a fan of, but they were all natives of Georgia.
You know, those Falcons fans, I remember being there, Michael Vick kicked our butts, and I was with my buddies, Bill Eisler, Chip Burke, and we walked out, and the Falcons fans were yelling at us, Michael Vick crushed us. And then
he ended up being a quarterback.
And I said, don't. Yeah. Exactly. And I said, don't respond. We don't want to get into it. And one of my friends turned around and said, I don't see any Lombardi trophies down here. And that was beautiful. And I just kept on walking.
And maybe we should do that sometime. List every quarterback in order.
Uh-huh.
From Terry Bradshaw
to
Ben Roethlisberger, and then from Ben to here. And I think you'd be shocked at some of the names on there, including Michael Vick. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, Michael Vick. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
All right, Lynn Hayes Freeland.
Yeah, you tend to forget.
We'll talk to you in the spring, which will be next.
There you go. Looking forward to it.
Starts on Thursday. We'll talk to you Tuesday. All right, stay
guys,
warm.
Have a good one.
Donsky and White News Desk. National Weather Service confirming 6 tornadoes touching down in 3 counties on Sunday, one of them in Acme, Westmoreland County.
That was consistent with tree damage and structural damage, including roofs of houses and other outbuildings.
And that is so rare. I mentioned that average of 9 tornadoes in this state per year, and to have 6 in our region in one day is extraordinary.
Now, the parents of a missing Pitt student want officials in the Dominican Republic to declare their 20-year-old daughter dead, and that's despite the fact they have yet to find the body.
Man, and you still wonder.
I feel terrible for that family.
And what is their motivation for having that declared so soon?
And that's the question for the news to answer, hopefully in the next couple of days. Butch Wilmore, Sunita Williams, on their way back to Earth after 9 months of being stranded at the International Space Station.
And on docking confirmed, freedom is free of its moorings. Sunny Williams and Butch Wilmore begin their belated trip home.
Yeah, what do they want when they get home?
I told you that astronaut yesterday, he said all I wanted when I got back was pizza.
He wants a shower.
Well, they need to make the shower. They'll make the delivery at 5:57 Eastern, and they'll be splashing down off the Florida coast then.
All right. Thank you, Paul Rasmussen.